Welcome, everyone, to Blind Bargains Cast 13 for last week's news of April 13th. Tridecaphobia. Tridecaphobia!
What is that? Is that fear of 13?
Fear of 13. And, oh, long, okay. And 13. Long words. Like Steinkamp, as in my name, Joe Steinkamp. I'm here with my good friend, JJ Mehta, who is back from another set of travels. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Yes, yes. Bouncing all over the place. Actually, as you're listening to this, I'm probably in Chicago or Detroit or somewhere else. I don't know. It's been a little bit crazy, but getting ready for the summer, which is awesome. It's warming up a little bit. We're brought to you again this week by Hims as well. Your needs are our solutions. Thank you again, Hims, for sponsoring us this
pizza.
Week.
I want deep dish pizza now. Oh man.
I had some last week. And it was all mine.
It's odd that I actually didn't get the deep dish pizza in San Diego that I'm used to getting that almost is like Chicago. Not exactly the same thing.
A couple really cool things coming up this episode. Mike May from Sendero, and of course, maker of many GPS programs and apps, an avid traveler, did a nice review of Uber. So if you've never used Uber, if you just want a little bit more idea of how exactly the ride-sharing service works, stay tuned. He's got an audio demo for you and actually took a ride in an Uber to let you know what it sounds like. We have that coming up along with Sound Off and how to find your Android phone straight from Google. So stay tuned.
Well, with that said, you are set to get into the news. The first one is, hey, an article from Blind Bargains. I heard of that place. And they're talking about Humanware and Keysoft 9.5. Darn, that doesn't add up to 14. That's 13. I wanted
to add 14.
Up to
13. Why are they staying on 9?
I guess they're waiting for something huge for a whole number
change.
Ever since
the Apex, 9.1, 9.2, 9.3, 9.4, 9.5.
They don't want to be confused with Windows 10 or OS 10 or...
I guess the alternative is JAWS, which just keeps adding numbers, and they're going to be at JAWS 46 before we know it.
X, you know, there's a lot of 10s and X's out there. Maybe they just are bucking the marketing trend.
Exam mode. Now, this actually is probably one of those things that's needed. It sounds small, and it probably didn't take them a lot of time to implement. But the idea here is you can be a student in high school or whatever. There's all these standardized tests, right? And a lot more of them are now going online and digital, which is cool for accessibility if done right. But did you ever do this? Come on. I mean, I know maybe not that often. I was a pretty honest student, but come on. You have a note taker in front of you that also happens to have a spell checker, a calculator.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Your previous class notes, whatever else. So, yeah,
no.
I could definitely see the need. So the idea locks down the note taker until a teacher or somebody puts a password in.
Some VI teachers hook up things to the back of it so they can see what people are actually brailing or typing on their.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nope.
That's the other way to do it. So it
right
makes
on
sense.
There, kids. You know, that adds to a lot of the things that they were doing that they announced last year with the virtual buffer, the ability to look at web pages and bring up things a lot faster. It's certainly a refinement and it's a free upgrade.
Yes. Well, they're all free on the Apex, which I would wager is thanks to Hims, who has had that policy ever since they've been doing note takers.
Yeah.
And so, strangely, if you want to update your Empower, you still have to pay for an update.
Huh.
But
interesting.
If you have an Apex, there's no like pay for all updates feature for the Empower. You're just kind of left. You're like, oh, yeah, that'll be 400 and some bucks. I'm like, but it's 7 or 8 years old. Why don't you just give it to me at this point? But, definitely. Look at the features on Keysoft. It's pretty much all education. They know where their market is.
And, absolutely.
You know, for good reason. It's education. That's why you have Nemesis support. And that's why you have things like exam mode, which does make sense. There's more coming in Keysoft 9.5. There's a video series this time. No pictures. Well, there's pictures in the video, but
once
it's actually
again,
a narrated
you're
video.
Going after, well, you know, they're not the first ones to do this. Remember, people beat up the Alva, I think, on the 640. There was a video. Remember, it was like this really crazy voiceover, and it was like sleek and powerful Braille. And it was video.
At least this is a normal. I was a little scared when I saw that, but it's actually just Greg Stilson talking about the feature. So it's actually a legitimate video that's not, you know, that we can actually get something out of. So
like you know, this slow pan across a Braille display, like it was a car, was the way that it was done. It was very weird, very strange to see things in our industry marketed in mainstream ways.
Yeah. Coming out in May. So stay tuned to Blind Bargains. I'm sure there's more of these.
Woo. Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, a free update coming out next month, so stay tuned.
And if you and we'll are have... going to convention, one of the great things about pre-conference is some of the great big things that get put on ahead of time. So Freedom Scientific, AI Squared, and Humanware all do like big, long, like 3-hour long events. But the good thing about that, I think in the Humanware's case, I think it was 4 last year, you get to hear what's coming up for the next year, and they take a lot of feedback from the audience, and a lot of those suggestions get put into the roadmap. So it's definitely yes. worth going into one of those things if you're traveling to convention. HIMSS does one as well, and you've heard those
K-1000 comes to mind too. They've done that for years. They were probably one of the first. They always had that Kurzweil users group meeting.
Yeah.
For K1000 features. That's been going on for years and years. And it is really cool when companies will actually, well, I mean, it's smart from a consumer standpoint and it's smart business sense to figure out what your customers actually want if you want to sell more things to them.
And if you are a Kurzweil fan, going to that meeting is amazing. What you heard in our coverage at CSUN is just a smattering of what Steve will talk about when in a room with users getting feedback from the audience. It is just amazing. I enjoy going to those. They're always up against my own assistive technology trainers division, so I haven't been able to go to a couple of them. I actually still have a Kurzweil bag I got at a NFB in Dallas. I think it was like 2006 or 2008 that I still use to this day. It's one of my gig bags. I love it. It's really good. I have jumped into an Uber with it, possibly. Uber was in the news. And by in the news, I don't mean just in our circles. I mean like in Ars Technica.
And Uber is all over this podcast, too. Just saying.
Yeah.
Which is good.
So let's start off with just reminding some people that Uber is not completely evil. They do some amazing things. There's an article here from Uber Honolulu. Oh, man, we should totally do research there. Uber Honolulu. Yes. And what they were doing for UberX peoples in the Honolulu area and how they can assist and have done training for some of their drivers. And then you compare and contrast that to what's going on with the lawsuits that are going on with some service animals and people saying that they're not getting picked up because they use service animals when trying to use Uber.
Uber, you baffled me. I love Uber, and we're going to talk about it more later. And really cool. I use it all the time. I just, there's a stats tool that I found that says I've used Uber 97 times now. You know, just on these, whatever. Yeah, that's a little scary. But so they're part of their claim. They're just finding all the stupidest reasons to fight this lawsuit. Like, oh, I don't think the NFB has standing to sue us under the ADA. What? What is that? I mean, the messages that they're sending in court don't match the messages that they're sending with their PR people saying, oh, yeah, we're pro guide dogs. And when you talk to a lot of their drivers, they say they're pro guide dogs. Why would you fight this? What is it that you're going to gain out of this? I just don't. The implementation of some of this just baffles me. It really just puts a black eye on a great service.
4 or 5 Ubers that we've taken here have been smaller cars like Toyota Corollas. In fact, a lot of Toyotas lately. And they wouldn't be great for larger guide dogs, like an 80-pounder or something like that. You know, a big, great big lab would not fit very comfortably in these situations. So some of the Ubers that I've seen lately have been smaller cars, not always your SUVs. Although one of them, we went to go see the Insurgent movie, and the Uber that we took there was a Jaguar. The guy owned a dealership, and he took some of his demos and would drive them as Uber cards to get some money back on things. So riding to the movie theater in a Jag.
That's a creative way to do it. I like it. That's smart.
It's like voiceover said, Jaguar. No. What? There's a 4-door Jaguar? Wait,
is that the guy's name? Oh, no, that's the car.
Wow.
I've had Mercedes, not Jaguar.
Yeah. Oh, ooh, the Mercedes SUV. I've been in that one, too. That's a bit of a trip. My father was a service manager for GM for 20 years, so I'm used to like fondling cars and looking at cars and going to car shows. So it was a little interesting when you hear a name of a car you've not been in. It's ooh, maybe that's a cool. Let's car.
Check this one out.
Yeah,
but yeah, you know, it's again, they're baffling as far as what's going on with Uber, and they're not all on the same page. I think when it comes to accessibility, it strikes me that you are implementing options for Uber Assist, which is really a service designed for people with special needs and wheelchairs and things like that, and a really cool service for, you know, on-demand rides. You're doing that in one breath, and then you're fighting dogs in the other breath. I mean, what is it? Why? you have a chance to be a leader in this space and really take hold and, you know, be proactive about getting rid of any drivers who just don't get it. And you're not doing that, and you're fighting it in court. And that's what baffles me. I love Uber.
If we got municipal broadband going, like Google coming in and cities like Knoxville just doing their own or something like that, when do we see kind of the same NLS battle that we've had before where somebody says, well, I wonder if this city will ever just contract out with Uber, Lyft, or what have you, and that takes care of our, you know, transportation department for special needs? That's an interesting thought.
That could happen, I think. But part of your problem, I think, currently is all your Uber employees are contractors, and I think right. That's going to fly in the face of some of that.
And the FTC is really interested. They want to get your feedback on things like Airbnb and Uber. And you may see something like that because there were actually Uber drivers, I think, a couple of years ago talking about trying to unionize. So there's going to be a little bit of an interesting thing how that goes. The startup economy is in the crosshairs this year in a lot of the news stories that I've been reading. So it should be interesting to see what's going on moving forward as some of these businesses where you go, wow, how did that happen? Either get gobbled up by Amazon, Google, Facebook, others, or their business models are severely tested.
You know, this whole contract versus employee thing is really interesting. Just to kind of explain this, try to explain this in simple terms. Pretty much when you hire people to run your company, your service, you can either bring them on as an employee and pay them benefits and do all this stuff, or you can contract with people, you know, and do it part time. You know, if you're hiring a blog writer, or if you're hiring someone just to, you know, to do, you know, odd jobs, you can pay them as a contractor. And usually it's designed for doing specific small jobs at, you know, hours that you choose. And, you know, you have a lot of leeway as the person that is, you know, being the contract, you know, contracted. But there's kind of a gray area where Uber and Lyft and some of these other companies are hiring contractors, but then, you know, they're expecting them to work 40 hours a week, or they can choose their own hours, but in some ways treating them like employees and having putting certain expectations on them. That's kind of where some of that gray area comes in. So it's not just Uber. It's a lot of this service economy.
Yep. Airbnb, does it violate your zoning? Does it violate your rental agreement? Oh, gosh,
yeah. Airbnb has its own Soothe, which is an on-demand massage, which I still need to try out. Has some of that same thing. There's a lot of that going on. And, you know, this whole sharing economy is changing how we think about a lot of that. And going to create, and maybe the result will be a new category of employment. I don't know. There's a lot of things that could happen here. So we'll... lots of stories about Uber specifically in our show notes this week.
About a private ride firm that was doing like Uber buses where you would actually have a bus. And it was a private busing firm who had a problem with some, well, they weren't being very physically disability friendly. And then I got literally in the same week, a couple of days later, Lainey Feingold posted one about how they caved due to public pressure and put up a wheelchair ramp for this one. And, you know, that's also another part of it is some of these companies have never had to run into this because they might not have any disabled individuals on their payroll. They might not have any experience with disability. And quite frankly, you know, until they run into it, they don't know what they're supposed to be doing, or they didn't know that they should be doing it. And then in some cases they try to get around it, and that's even worse because then it's a public, you know, relations nightmare and it gets really weird. So
ignorance like you is said, never a defense for the law. You can't say, oh, I didn't know murder was illegal.
Yes, oops. I was totally unaware of that. You
can't do that.
A lot of links in the show notes. So if you're interested in more of this, you can do some research right there, blindbargains.com, under the audio tab. Or if you're in our app, you actually can see the show notes right there. I mentioned research a second ago, and research is something that NLS, the National Library Service, is really good at. I saw this floating by Twitter. It's not necessarily newsworthy, but I think it's interesting the language that's used on this website to get others to learn about the library service, what it's for, how it can help, and how others can actually sign up for the library service. And it's a part of the reading program that I think they're going to launch as kind of their way of reaching out to people, their message for the summer. This is an interesting page, and I saw it go flying by. And you know, most of the people who listen to this podcast probably already have NLS services, National Library Services, or use BARD. But there are VI teachers.
If you're in this country, at least.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say that, too. You beat me to it. That was in my head, the little spiel going up. You know, if you're a VI teacher or if you're a family member or if you're, you know, not in this country, maybe this will help you understand what it is. So this is just a link to get the word out there about NLS. And I like the language. Again, this is kind of why when you see a link in the show notes, just to give you kind of a little backstory, like Chris's article last week, it's fun to read comments and it's fun to read the language that's used, especially in the cases of services that are about us or for us, because there are sometimes language that's used that might strike you funny, but they were going after a certain audience. And it's interesting to know what they have to say to try and garner that audience and hold them kind of like inbound to hear the entire message, where we kind of sort of would turn it off because we hear it all the time and hear a lot about it. So again, check out the links in the show notes.
One of the other things that happened recently, and I didn't get a chance to attend this year, but attended the 2 years prior, was the AFB Leadership Conference. This year it was in balmy, sunny Phoenix, Arizona. And I have heard from lots of people who did attend and heard it was another great conference this year. Of course, we talked about the awards they've given out earlier, some of the to recognize some of the pioneers and some of the leaders in technology especially. And we've linked to a top 12 from the some of the takeaways as written by you know, people at the conference. So you can go check that out. You know, over the past couple of years, the AFB Leadership Conference has really kind of come into its own as adding a big technology track and adding a lot more research components. Before, it was more centered on education and orientation, mobility, things like that. And they definitely have expanded over the past few years. And this is one that moves around the country. So CSUN's always in San Diego. ATIAs are always in Orlando. The AFB Leadership Conference always moves around. And I have not heard. Have you heard where it's going to be next year yet?
Have not. But friend of the show, Jeff Bishop, attended that event since it was practically in his backyard. And he said it was a really good show that he was really happy to go. And he has,
I had the same impression in New
York, to compare right to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really come a long way. That's one that might pop up in your backyard. Here we go. Here, thanks to Google, always our number one research associate here. March 3 to 5 in D.C. next year. Ooh. So they kind of swapped again. So now it's back before CSUN, because CSUN went later. And it'll be the beginning of March in D.C.
So with that going before CSUN, and CSUN being San Diego's spring break week. Oh, that's going to be expensive. Wow. Yeah.
Well, this is the setup we had last year where it was in New York the end of February and then CSUN was later in March. So we're kind of
flip a coin as to which one you think might be cheaper, folks.
Yeah. Or do both if you can.
Or in some way fit in South by Southwest, right in the middle.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. I've always wanted to go to that. And it's always clash CSUN or AFB. And now if AFB is on the East Coast again, that's certainly a conference I could consider myself attending, I think, next year.
As a person who used Verizon, it did not bother me living in Austin during that time. But, oh, man, AT&T had to bring in inflatable towers to be able to have coverage to take on. Because there were so many guys there who had unlimited iPhone plans who, like, grandfathered in. And so the AT&T contingent in Austin was stronger than usual, and they would have to bring in, and there would always be a news story every time for South by Southwest in Austin about the towers they had to roll in, portable towers, so they could do the coverage downtown. It was just crazy dropping calls and all the time. It was interesting. Yeah.
I can just imagine the hecticness of that, but yes, lots of conferences in the spring. By the way, before we get away from conferences, I'm just going to change the show notes without telling Joe. The ATIA 2016, which is a week later than it has been in the past as well. Beginning of February 2016 in Orlando, the call for papers is now open. So if you want to be a presenter at ATIA in Orlando, that you have till the middle of June to send that in as well.
Where Jay will be taking lots of selfies for Facebook. Facebook was in the news a lot last week with talk about accessibility. Facebook's own post about accessibility in the Empathy Lab went very far on top of Bill Holton's article, I believe, about Facebook accessibility.
Yes.
That, which is really good. It gives you an idea of the keystrokes that are needed in order to use Facebook on various platforms. It was platform agnostic, so there's a lot of great information there.
That's good. That doesn't always happen.
No, not these days. Usually, what was it? The general way of saying things is go to the mobile site, m.facebook.com. Forget anything.
I might have to rethink that.
I do too. I don't think that will change for a while mentally, but it is neat to know that, and especially for low vision users who try to get by without using speech. I am not one of those people. I use speech a lot. But for those people who want to be able to use keystrokes and jump to things like it would be a screen reader, that's kind of helpful. Also for teaching people about accessibility, having these keystrokes down, like if you're sitting in a working environment and somebody's like, where's the blah, blah? And just to yell out a keystroke across the office, you can be the office hero rather quickly if you can show somebody, oh my gosh, there are keystrokes?
What? You don't have to use your mouse?
What? No. That's not possible at all. What is this crazy thing? Why would they do such a thing? Oh, this must be for people who lose their mice or their trackpads are broken. Yep, that must have been how that happened. And I'm not making that joke up. I have actually heard that said at a conference.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
Yeah. You could use your watch.
Oh, really? Oh, I could flick my arm and then I could get an incoming like message, except for my Blind Bargains watch. I it's always vibrating.
No, there's that. Yeah. And if you want to use it in demo mode, good luck. Well, we thought there was a way to enable the Apple Watch and make it work in a demo mode using Siri. And then there was word that some Apple stores were disabling Siri on the Apple Watches in the demo mode. I don't get what is this battle? Why are they, is this intentional or is this just a whole bunch of misunderstanding here? But aside from that, the Apple Watches are, some people will probably be receiving them by the time this show goes out. The shipment notifications just went out earlier this week. So hopefully in the next week or two, we expect to hear from a whole bunch of you that bought Apple Watches. We know you're out there.
And, they don't want them to take more than 15 minutes, you know, because remember Laura got like 90 minutes. I mean, come on. They want you in and out.
That's why. There's no more time. Yeah. Yep.
Does it fit on your wrist? Isn't it great? Do you have $17,000? No, you need to go. Sorry. Thanks for coming. Thanks. It's all the same. I'm $11 an hour at the Apple Store.
Yeah. You can go check out the Galaxy Gear S.
Did you see that they updated Android Wear and have already started to clone some Android? Clone some iOS watch. Or excuse me. Sorry. Wrong. Clone some Watch OS features in the Apple Watch.
Watch Android OS? Wear. It's really a Watch OS?
No, I'm serious. No, it is. It's iOS. It's OS X, you know, OS 10, right? And Watch OS. It is using its own version of an operating system. It is not iOS.
Okay.
Which says a lot for continuity. That means like three things will all be updating all at the same time.
Okay. Whatever works.
Microsoft just released an update so you can do PowerPoint from your Apple Watch.
Great. Uh-huh. I guess for slideshows, maybe. Sure. You can advance the slide. Sure. Okay.
It's
that makes sense.
It's better than carrying an iPod around to be your second Apple device to flip your keynote slides, which is cool. Don't get me wrong. But
well, hopefully we'll learn more too. We've been doing a lot of watch talk.
Oh,
and I would
rather
see watch demos
The latest weekly Apple rundown thing, just the very bottom is nothing but Apple Watch links. I am so burnt out. I can't look at any more Apple Watch stuff. Next article is nothing but how to's. Just saying right now.
There you go. Nice.
I need a break.
The link that we linked to was actually a blog over. It was Alex that did Alex Jorgensen did a really cool kind of rundown of the whole Apple Watch and demo mode and a lot of the gestures and things. So we put a link to it on our site, and that's where a lot of the information that we got recently came on. And of course, there's other people that are playing with the watch as well.
You'll probably see people on Disney-owned ABC using Apple Watches because Apple and Disney have some board members that share back and forth. That was a great transition.
I hate to ruin your segue,
but no. Oh, there's another ABC?
Yeah.
Huh.
The Australian Broadcasting Company. Yeah, not our ABC. Other ABC.
Uh-huh.
The latest now to do audio description in their app, at least on a very trial basis, I guess. It's a 15-month trial.
They're going to use Doctor Who. That's actually how I knew about the Australian Broadcasting Company, because I listened to a show called The WhoCast who had an Aussie on it. And so, yes, I could imagine that Doctor Who, which is already audio described, might actually be on that very... Yeah. Anyway, so you were saying Doctor Who.
iView, which is the app. I don't know if it's accessible. I'm going to assume it is, because it would be really silly, although this has happened before, to have audio description on the app that's not accessible.
David Woodbridge will make a post on it, I'm sure, if it's not.
Right. Well, this was posted on the Media Access Australia website, so I'm assuming if they're talking about it, usually. So iView is their kind of on-demand app, and then you can, so now you can go there, you can get several hours of content weekly. You can get the audio tracks right now on the iPhone and iPad, and soon on other devices like Androids and HD TVs, which some of them happen to talk over there, so you can actually get that accessibly, theoretically.
Do you know Xbox 360 actually can do the described audio track for Daredevil?
Yeah, well, remember, it's a language track, right?
Uh-huh.
So any device, I mean, except, I would guess your Roku TV could as well. It's not accessible on the Roku, isn't, but you probably could have someone.
And to do it on the Xbox with the Kinect, which would be easy way to do it, is not easy. So you would have to memorize a lot to be able to do it with voice connection with Kinect, if you had a Kinect for your Xbox 360. But low vision users could definitely do so. Apple TV, that's real easy to put up there. And I was kind of hoping, like, if you started it on one platform, you could kind of pick it up on another. Like someone had said, if they started Daredevil on iOS, they could pick it up on their PC platform as their audio choice for that. Not so much with the Apple TV latest gen. Couldn't get that to work, signing in, signing out, or anything like that yet. So I wonder what's up with that. I don't know. I've seen some people say on Twitter that they got it to work.
Yeah, going from the phone to the web. But maybe then some people have said Apple, have heard Apple TV. Yeah.
And it will turn it off. So if you do have a platform that does not support or is not set to audio English, audio description as it's called, then it will turn it off and you have to go back and re-enable it. So
Netflix supports Chromecast.
Yep, that's true.
You could do that.
That would be an interesting test. Yeah. Start it on your Android and then flip it over.
Yeah, it should work. I don't see why that wouldn't work. I mean, Chromecast is descending
You could AirPlay from your iPhone to your Apple TV and do it at your speakers that way. You could still do it.
You can do it for your Mac.
I did watch it, though. Somebody had asked us online, would we take a look at it? And I did play with the first episode of Daredevil. And I have to say that I am quite glad that it is audio described because, my friend, there is an incredibly long montage at the end with no real dialogue, and it was really helpful to be able to know that some major key plot points happened. They were described because it was all visual. They held nothing back. There are certain parts of that show that, with House of Cards, they text back and forth, and I know I'm missing something. But there are subtle little things the director does visually that I would have missed had I not been relying on TVS on the track. So I was very glad that it was there. And it's done very skillfully. And the voice that they chose is very subdued.
I think it fits the mood.
Yeah, fits the mood really well.
That's a big thing, right? I mean, listen, if you listen to an audio described kids program, they have this really peppy, happy voice.
A cartoon pig in a dress talks to us.
I'm Peppa Pig. This is my little brother George. This is Mommy Pig. And this is Daddy Pig. Peppa Pig.
A story.
The long grass.
Peppa and George run outside.
Peppa and George are playing in the garden.
Oh!
The grass has not been cut for a while. It has grown very long.
Come on, George!
It's taller than they are. They run through it.
Where are you?
Oh, no. What about the voices that are on, like, TBS where it sounds like they're just in a room reading from the phone book? Jonathan picks up a cup and sips from it. It's again, I'm happy it's there, but good night. The thing that I noticed, and this is an interesting topic for a moment. How do you feel about the description that happens before an action? So Karen is walking down the hallway. She's grabbed and her head is run into the wall. Then you hear her head being run into the wall.
Yeah.
As opposed to it happens and then you get the description after it.
And they do that because there's not a dialogue pause, right, at that point. Right.
Or in this case, and this is why I bring it up during our program, they had this dead silence, this drop silence, because it was such a violent act. There are some It is mature. I wouldn't show this to younger viewers just because it's a comic book. Daredevil's been around for 50 years and yeah, they've modernized him and he lives in Hell's Kitchen. Come on. So he deals with some violent things. They wanted to have this dead silence, kind of this beat when the young lady gets unfortunately thrown through this wall. They wanted that to kind of sort of sit there, which leads me again to what I said on Twitter, which was this was not a turnaround. No one just plopped this out in pressure of us crying about it. No, this was skillfully episodes. Done. Yeah, this was skillfully done because they did the audio description prior to the act and then wanted that dramatic pause to be there. So somebody made a physical decision on how this was edited and where the audio fell in. Because in a slow motion fight scene, the audio is right there to describe it as it's happening. So there are some moments where I was like, that was a creative choice, not one of they're about to talk
soon. And there are a lot of creative choices. It's actually at the AFB Leadership Conference last year, it's kind of circling mm-hmm. back. There was someone who was talking about audio description of kids programming and talking about the word choices they use. Instead mm-hmm. of just saying a monkey eats a banana, they're going to say, what color is a monkey? I don't know.
A monkey wearing a red vest.
Right.
Wearing bells eats, on.
Yeah. On a yellow long banana. Like, it's like yep. kind of working in, bananas are yellow.
More descriptive.
Right.
Yeah.
And throwing it more on an adult show, they're not going to tell you what color the banana is.
No.
You know?
They make an assumption that you know what color a banana is. There's a scene actually where someone is eating. And the character says, this is my grandmother's recipe, and I was only supposed to show it to the man I was going to marry, but I think this calls for a special occasion. And I couldn't tell what they were eating, and none of the characters refer to what the food is, and the description gives Matt eats a takes a bite of the lasagna, and I went, oh, cool. Like, they also realized that you didn't know what the food was. So they added it into the audio description.
That's important. That's really important.
There's a lot of when Daredevil looks at somebody, when Matt looks at somebody, there's a reflection of that character in his sunglasses. His sunglasses are there not as a signify he is blind trope or some type of stereotype. They actually are used for dramatic purposes. And when he's wanting to get someone to tell the truth, the narration from DBS does say that the character is reflected back in his glasses. And I caught that too. So there was a lot of thought put into how they did it. I was very impressed.
I look forward to that and following the other shows and see if they do it the same way. Do House we know? I don't know who they hired, if it was GBH or if it was somebody else that's doing this.
But I need to go back and listen to the end because Netflix on Xbox, if you don't touch it on the credits for 4 or 5 seconds, it'll jump to the next episode. So I've got to go back and listen to the credits again. But one of the first things it does mention at the credits is any copying or uploading of the content of the narration or the content of the program is a felony, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it was right there. I mean, when the credits go black and the words come up, it's the first thing, baby, because is copyright is. 2014. Yep. So I thought that was kind of auspicious considering what we had talked about last week.
There you go. We got a lot more coming up in this episode 13 of BBQ. After the break, Mike May, the founder and CEO of Sendero, who obviously does a lot of traveling himself. He is a huge fan of Uber. We've been talking a bit about Uber today. And some of you may not even be familiar with Uber. We've talked about it a lot. But if you're new to it, what is it? How does it work? What's it like when you actually take a ride in an Uber? He does a really good job of explaining this. So that's coming up next, along with Sound Off and much more. Stay tuned.
Hims is proud to present Smart Beetle, our ultra-portable 14-cell Braille display. Smart Beetle is pocket-sized and packed with power. Smart Beetle can connect to 6 devices simultaneously, flip between your iPhone, computer, and other screens without having to reconnect. And Smart Beetle, through its Bluetooth keyboard emulator, allows you to write in contracted Braille on items such as Android devices that otherwise wouldn't support it. Want to know more? Call Hims at 888-520-4467 or visit our website at www.hims-inc.com. Hims, your needs are our solutions.
Some say Uber, and some, like my iPhone with VoiceOver, say
Uber.
Uber. And I'm going to do a podcast for you to describe how to download Uber, how to get started, getting familiar with the different screens, taking a ride, and then wrapping up once you're finished, and even follow-up receipts and so forth. This is Mike May, and I think that Uber is one of the most incredible things that's happened to blind people in many years. It's just been in the last couple of years that we've had what is generically called rideshare services. There are a number of them, but by far Uber is the leading app worldwide. And it's in quite a few cities. I've taken it in several countries all over the U.S. and in Canada. It varies a little bit in terms of the options from city to city. So when I describe things, it may be a little different than the city that you're in. And of course, over time, things may evolve as features are added, cities are added, and so forth. But I think we'll be able to cover 90% of what will be common between us. There's a number of benefits to Uber and using a rideshare app. There's no waiting on hold if there's a ride available, which isn't always the case, but most of the time, particularly in big cities, the wait time to even get a ride could be a couple of minutes to 15, 20 minutes, but you don't have to wait on hold and guess at what time your taxi will arrive. You don't have to keep calling back and saying, where is my taxi, and all of the guesswork that goes into that whole system. There's a lot more security because your position and the ID of the driver are always known. So if you ever have an issue, you can easily report it. Also, when you're trying to quickly get out of the vehicle, you don't want to be messing with cash, potentially losing some items or your wallet or forgetting something because you're at a curb and trying to rush to get out or dealing with your dog or whatever. It's a lot easier because your credit card is on file. When you're finished with your ride, you just get out and go. That's it. You don't have to tip. You can if you want, but it's not required, and so you don't have to have any exchange of money as you leave the vehicle. I should mention that I have more than a passing interest in Uber. I'm so excited about it that I've been in touch with the company and given them feedback, as have a lot of blind people, and I was fortunate enough to become a beta tester because there are always little things that aren't accessible in an app and things can get broken and they need a full voiceover user to be looking after those things. The nice thing is that within the company, within engineering, all of the teams are responsible for making their component of the app accessible. This is something I wouldn't think most companies are attending to as well as I believe Uber is. It can often be frustrating trying to get a taxi in a city. You're trying to wave them down or getting somebody to help you wave them down. And then a lot of times taxis will go by without even stopping because they see you have a dog or for whatever reason you just don't know as a blind person when taxis are passing you by. Even when taxis do pull up and stop, either on the street or perhaps at a hotel entrance, they sometimes will reject the dog. I've found it to be as many as 1 out of 3 times in a place like San Francisco, where it's particularly bad. I hope that improves over time, but it's very frustrating when you're trying to go somewhere and then you need to stick up for your rights and argue with somebody, and that kind of confrontation can completely ruin your day. But it happens more often than not. That is a situation that should happen very infrequently, if ever, with Uber. It's only happened to me 1 out of well over 100 and some odd rides so far. It can happen, but the good news is there's a zero tolerance policy with the company. They will take that driver off of the platform if they reject you with the dog. And there's a real strong campaign to educate drivers about dogs, including a video for them to see, better understand the situation. Because a lot of times it's just a matter of misinformation. Drivers don't know about a guide dog versus a personal pet. I'll be using my iPhone 6 with VoiceOver and the Alex voice to demonstrate this app. The user interface may change, as I've said, over time, and it may vary from location, but what I show you here should be a pretty good representation of how it all should work. I am assuming that so far you have downloaded the app, search for it on the website under Uber, get the download, and then you go through the normal process of signing up. This can sometimes be tricky with a touch interface because you're entering a credit card and a lot of details that take a fair bit of typing. I should mention on my phone, I have the touch typing mode enabled. There's a way that you can share your promo code with somebody else. They get their first ride for free and you get X number of dollars off your rides. It's a good way to save money and to turn other people on to this incredible service. Okay, let's go ahead and launch Uber.
Uber, everyone's private driver trademark, set pickup location, EDA 12 minutes.
There are some options at the bottom of the screen, and those are the different types of Uber vehicles you can get, and that can vary from city to city. So I'll show you what I have. So most of the time I'm taking Uber X.
Selected. Uber X button. Uber XL button.
I flick to the right and I get Uber XL, and that's extra large.
Black car button.
Black car would be a limo, town car, something a bit nicer, maybe an SUV. And the price goes up with each of these things. I think that's all I have.
SUV button.
SUV. And then some cities have Uber Taxi, and in France, I believe it was called Uber Mini. I've also seen other customized things come up. For example, the Sacramento Kings are nearby, so there's one icon that'll come up having to do with the Kings.
Center map button.
Center map, that has to do with mostly visual stuff in terms of setting a location. We're not going to do that.
Account menu button.
So I'm going to go to the account menu first and just show you some of the other options there before we get into launching a ride.
Get an Uber.
That's what you're going to do most of the time, get an Uber, and that's what it launches into.
Payment.
And this is a place where you can put more than one credit card. I have one for personal travel and one for business travel, so two different credit cards. And when I book a ride, whatever the last payment method I used will be the one that's still active.
Promotions.
And there are promotions from time to time. That's not where you get the sharing or get a free ride part.
Free rides.
That's the free rides where your code that's identified with your app and your account, then you can share that with others. I'll just go into that for a second.
Free. Share. Back. Back button. Share your promo code CLVRN with friends and they'll get their first ride free, up to $20. Once they've tried Uber, you'll automatically get a free ride, up to $20, the next time you use Uber.
And I've seen other cities, sometimes there's a new city that's launched and it might be $30, but that can vary, obviously.
Share Facebook button. Share via Twitter button. Text button. Email button.
And that's it, so I'm going to scrub back to the main screen.
Support.
Support is where you would go if you had a problem. For instance, if you had a dog rejection, or maybe you canceled a ride and you didn't do it quickly enough, or there's some special issue, you can go in there and send a message to support. I'll just tap and go in there for a second, let you see some of the
options.
How can
we help? Back, back button. Something went wrong. Contact support button. How can we help? Heading, back, back button.
I'm going to go back. Those are the couple things that are in the support menu. The last item on the account menu is...
About. About, back, back button. Rate us in the App Store, V2.66.0. Like us on Facebook.
So this has the normal things, the version number and the privacy statement and so forth. So there's two key things, maybe three, that you want to pay attention to on the main Get an Uber screen. First of all, make sure that the type of Uber you want is selected, and that'll be, again, the things at the bottom. It depends on how you flick to left and right, exactly how you'll get to those items, but they're visually at the bottom of the screen. Then towards the top is pickup location. That is distinguished from another item in the middle of the screen that's set pickup location. Set pickup location is when you're happy with the location, you're ready to launch and have the Uber come get you, you would click on that. So first of all, let's look at the pickup location.
Pickup location, 739 Miller Drive, button.
And it'll pick usually where you are, but it might be off a little bit. I'm right on the corner of 8th and Miller, so sometimes it'll put 208 8th Street instead of Miller. Let's say I'm at a different address or it has it wrong, and I'll show you how I will deal with the pickup location setting. So I'm going to tap on that.
Search field is editing. Word mode. Enter pickup location.
There'll be a number of places I've been before that are in the list. There's a history.
Work, 739 Miller Drive. Edit work address. Button. El Toro Bravo Mexican Kitchen, 237 D Street, Davis, CA. Button.
At the bottom of the screen is your normal touch keypad. And this is where you would put in your address, and then you would click
search.
Search, and then it'll come up with a list. Now be careful, because if there are similar names of places, particularly if you're searching for a point of interest in multiple cities, make sure that you pick the right one. Normally it will give the name of the POI, point of interest, plus the address or the city, so you'll know for sure. But sometimes it's a little bit ambiguous, so be careful that you don't set a pickup location that isn't where you are.
Selected. UberX button.
It takes me back to the main screen, and now I'll just make sure.
Pickup location. Work button.
So it says work because that's what I have it labeled as. I'm going to flick once to the right.
Set pickup location, ETA 14 minutes, button.
So ETA, estimated time of arrival. But certainly if you're in a place like San Francisco, you will have an Uber available very quickly, depending on what part of the city, within a couple of minutes.
Pickup location, set pickup location, ETA 12 minutes, button.
So it's already dropped to 12 minutes, so I'm going to click on that, double tap.
Confirmation.
This is the confirmation screen. I'm going to start at the top and flick down.
Pickup location, work, button.
So it repeats my pickup location.
Add destination, button.
You can add a destination for a couple of reasons. One is when you get into the vehicle, then the driver already has it in their app and you don't have to tell them and risk them getting it incorrect. So if you have time, enter that destination, and it works in the same way that your setting of your pickup location works.
Request UberX, button. Promo code, button. Fare estimate, button.
A fare estimate is also a reason you'd want to put in a destination so you can find out, particularly if it's a long ride, an estimation of what the rates will be.
Credits on payment. Business visa ending in 14. Confirmation.
So you'll see that it gave me a confirmation of the business credit card that I'm using, the last four digits, and I'm ready to
payment.
Go.
Request UberX button.
And now down at the bottom, I have request UberX.
Request UberX button. Pickup time is approximately 14 minutes.
So on this screen, if you want to wait for the time of your pickup to go down or see how it evolves, you can flick to that item, and as it refreshes, it'll be announced to you. That's assuming that something doesn't change in the app, but that's the way it's working right now. And just to show you what's involved in canceling a ride, should you need to do that, I will take a real ride later with you. Let's go ahead and request it.
Request UberX button.
Listen to what happens. So it's now searching for a driver. Somebody, the nearest driver to me, is getting an alert, and they choose to accept the call or not.
Uber big trip options button. Driver, name, SUTAR, rating, 5.0, vehicle, Toyota Camry, license plate, 7.0.
So it gives me all the information about the driver. So I'm going to go through the trip options.
Fare split, button.
You can split the fare if you're going with more people.
Share my ETA, button.
You can share your ETA with somebody else that you might be meeting up with.
Cancel trip, button.
So I better cancel before he gets too close.
Driver, name, cancel trip, button. Are you sure you want to cancel? If you cancel 5 minutes after requesting, a fee may apply. For detail, yes.
So it's 5 minutes after requesting is when there might be a fee. Under contact driver, you can text the driver or call them. I often will call the driver or text them to let them know exactly where I am, if I'm on the curb or if I have some specific thing that will help them find me easier, because when they're close by, I obviously can't see their license plate or car type unless there's somebody around that can help me do that. I'm depending on them finding me, so I'll call them and give them a clue to how to find me. I don't always tell them about the dog because that could potentially scare them off, or it's too hard to explain over the phone. It's just easier to do once they're there in person. They don't actually have your phone number, so once you're done with the conversation, your number is masked. So you can't call the driver back either after your transaction is over with. Note also that this particular driver was 5.0. That's 5 stars, and that's obviously the highest rating you can get. You will rate the driver when you're finished with a ride, and the drivers also rate you. So if a driver is 4.9, 5.0, they're probably pretty darn good. If you give them a 4.0, just bear in mind that will drag down their number quite a bit, so do it with good reason. And of course, if you're really, really unhappy, you can drag their number down significantly with a 1.0. But it's nice to know when you're getting a driver just what their rating is, and then you can contribute to that yourself later on. There's a situation I want to tell you about that I can't demonstrate easily, so I want to tell you about it. It's called surge pricing. This happens when the demand is high for drivers and the price goes up. And this could be any variable, 1.5 times, 2.5, 3 times. And there'll be details explained to you exactly how much it goes up, how much per minute, how much per mile. But the bottom line is you have to do a couple of things. You can cancel and wait till surge pricing goes down. You will be given an option to be notified when surge pricing goes down, so that's an easy way to track it. If you really need a ride and you're not going that far and it's worth it anyway, then you can click on accept surge pricing. And depending on how much more the factor is, you may or may not have to do a second level of confirmation. If you don't have to do any other confirmation, it'll just go back to the confirmation screen. You request a ride and you continue. And if you get a screen with a number pad on the bottom, in the number pad in the shape of a telephone keypad, Then you have to enter the factor. So if they told you it was 2.1 times surge pricing, then you would have to put in 2.1. Once it sees those two digits, you don't put in a period, even though it is 2.1, just put in 2.1. Then you've confirmed that you understand how much more it's going to be. You're back to the confirmation screen, press request UberX, and then your driver will be summoned and you will pay that extra fare. You will tend to see this in big cities or around popular commute hours or when the theater lets out, times like that. If you have a really long ride and the fare would be super high if you pay three times as much, there's a couple of workarounds. One is you could take it for a short distance till you're out of the surge area and then terminate your ride and then get another ride that would be at normal fare. Or what I've done is in San Francisco, taken the BART to a stop a little bit further away where there isn't surge pricing and I'm out of the busy zone, and then I take it from there. But that's only if I'm going to be taking it for half an hour or 50 miles or something like that, and it would be really expensive. Otherwise, it's not worth the hassle to make those transitions. The good news is that my experience is Uber is usually cheaper than a taxi by quite a bit anyway. So even if you have to pay 1.5 times the fare, you're probably just going to be about what you'd be at it in a taxi anyway. Let's go take an actual Uber ride. I'm going to walk downtown and then take an Uber back. Okay, I've got my pickup location in there.
Set pickup location, ETA 2 minutes, button.
All right, 2 minutes, good.
Confirmation.
On the confirmation screen. Okay, I could set my destination, but I can also just tell the driver.
Request UberX, button. Your Uber is on the way. Mike, arriving now.
Okay, somebody was close by, so it vibrated the phone, gave me the sound alert.
Driver, name, Robert, rating, 4.9, vehicle, Toyota Prius, license plate, N0.
Okay, he should be pulling up in a minute.
ETA,
all right,
1 minute.
Let's go out to the curb. Robert?
Mike?
Hey, you're on Uber, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, you got a little friend with you.
Yeah, this is my CNI dog, Tank, and I'm headed home. I'll put him here.
You can do that.
I'll put him on the floor in the back, if that's all right.
Not a problem.
Good boy, Tank. Okay. All right, I'll hop up front if that's okay.
That's perfect.
Okay, we're going to 739 Miller Drive.
Yes, I know where Miller is. So how are you liking using Uber?
I love it. Here in a place like Davis, I walk a lot, but sometimes I need to get somewhere quickly, or during the winter, it's nice when it's raining to grab a ride or go into the Sacramento airport. It's really convenient. I just love being able to pull out the app and get a driver quickly, know lots of details, feel secure, safe, and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of the same reason I enjoy driving for Uber here in Davis is small community. I get some of the same kids over and over from the college. Some adults too.
Are you a student?
No, I'm not. I actually work for the state of California.
Okay.
Been there quite a long time and was looking to do something else after I retired and wanted to do something totally different than my regular state job. So somebody told me about Uber and been doing it since September.
Oh, nice. Yeah. You ever get any really long rides?
Yeah, periodically we'll get some rides down to San Francisco Airport, San Francisco, Oakland.
Well, I've taken Uber in France, Germany, Spain, Australia, and in quite a few U.S. cities. It varies a little bit from place to place, but I've always had a good experience, so I'm hooked.
Yeah. Now, how is it with Tank? Pretty easy to get him to ride?
Yeah, some drivers are a little surprised. They've never had a CNI dog in their vehicle before, but they're cool about it. And, of course, by the end of the ride, when they have this dog that's just sitting there not moving, what's there to say other than, wow, that's amazing.
All right, we're almost there.
I didn't use the feature this time, but I kind of like the fact that if I had put in my destination, I could share my ETA, let my wife know that I am en route and not just still hanging out at the pub.
All righty.
Okay. We have arrived.
All right, we have arrived. Great. Thank you, Robert. All right, Tank.
You guys have a good day. Hopefully we'll see you again.
Okay, thanks a lot. Let's go, Tank.
Good boy.
Have a good one.
So if I wanted to give any good or negative feedback, I could choose that button and type in some details.
Need help button. One star button. 2 stars.
Here's the rating.
3 stars. 4 stars. 5 stars. Button.
5 stars.
Selected. 5 stars. Submit. Button.
And submit. Double tap.
Selected. UberX. Button.
Now I'm ready for my next ride. And then back at my computer, I will get an email with the details of the charges and the driver name. And
you got mail.
And then also I'm on Chase Alerts. It comes on my phone and it announces the $4 charge. So I've got all sorts of authentication as far as the details. A lot safer than being in a taxi and wrestling around with cash. It's better to travel, hopefully, than to arrive.
As time has gone by, there's been more and more ways to find your lost phone, and that's great, because I'm the type of person that likes to misplace things all over the place. Google, I think, though, has just done one of the coolest integrations I've seen in a long time. Instead of having to go into some special website, or load up an app, or load up some sort of special tool, you just go to Google.
Run dialog, type the name of a program, folder, document, or installation.
www.google.com.
Desktop, http://www.google.com/internet-explorer. Pane, Google document, button, Google search, combo box editable.
Go to the search and type
find my phone. Find my phone, Google search document. Link plus JSON. Search results.
And we'll see what we have here.
Search with no previous heading. Find your phone. Copyright 2015 Google. Map data copyright 2015 Google. Link terms of use. Link record a map error. For your security, sign in again to get your phone's location.
All right, that's good. It's wants to sign in.
Sign the Google account document. Edit protected.
And there is my Google account.
Find my phone, Google search document. Link plus JSON. Search results in the news.
We sign in.
Search result. Kalamazoo, MI, USA. Accurate to. Link record a map error. Link terms of link Kalamazoo, MI, USA. Accurate to. 75 feet. Graphic ring.
And there's my phone on a map.
Visited link feedback. In the news. Visit graphic ring.
And we can ring my phone by hitting this button. Wait. There it is. And I can just press the power button to stop it. So no matter where I am, as long as my phone is linked to my Google account, which pretty much as soon as you set up an Android phone or device, it is, I can type find my phone into Google and find my phone.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
You know, it's a matter of careful what you wish for, Mr. Madoff, when I say things on podcasts, because
What'd you do now?
Especially on this very show, our very own beloved BBQ, that when I ask for things, people respond and respond in amazing fashion. We talked a little bit about AT history as we have in March and a little bit this month here in April. And this email right here from Aaron is quite humbling. Someone who has used assistive technology since 1989 in college. Arctic Vision. Oh, man, that is awesome. And then used it at the Social Security Administration and to give back others. This is a wonderful email that talks about what it is like to use this technology to give back to others, to teach others, and help others become on equal footing with their peers, which is something I felt like I was doing at the Division for Blind Services. I was born visually impaired and then did everything that a high partial would usually do, like sell televisions and things, you know, to not admit that I'm blind. So I was very, very honest when I was talking about Curtis kind of wrapping me around the brain and getting me to kind of accept things. And working with individuals at other federal agencies or state agencies, and then, of course, working with the consumers to help blind Texans become employed or maintain employment, it kind of felt like, oh, here's my Catholic background, penance for all the stupid sighted things I was trying to do. So this email is really, really cool. Worth a read. And thank you for sending that in. That is magical and very,
I like
very
this quote.
Humbling.
They say, I don't feel like I would have been able to accomplish all of the goals that I have set myself without the various technology improvements that have occurred over the past 25 years. And you know, it's pretty much saying without the technology.
Going from Arctic Vision to the iPad and sending the email on an iPhone.
There you go.
That's a great summary and beautifully said. Fantastic. And we also have an email here from Lewis about Daredevil and thoughts about Daredevil and what Lewis would like to see in the situation with Daredevil and his family. Now, he asks, if you could watch it with your family, like a descriptive track at the same time. Now, Netflix has kind of unrelaxed. They've kind of strengthened the rules for how many IPs can be streaming and also how many people from the same IP can be streaming. So if you have a family edition of Netflix where you can have two or three house devices streaming from the same IP, yes, you actually could start it at the same time and the family watch a non-DBS and you watch a DBS, but you'd have to be really good with the fingers and do it that way.
And like you said before, if something crazy happens, I found this at theaters too, kind of wait a second to react sometimes because what are you talking about?
There's a way to do party mode. I think it's on the PS4 as well in PS3, but on Xbox, you can actually watch a movie at the same time with your friends on Netflix. And you can kind of sort of watch something if you both have Netflix, you know, not like I had Netflix and JJ didn't. And so, hey, let's watch a movie. Well, I don't have Netflix. No, you both have to have it. And you can actually watch at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know if that would work for, you know, we watch audio description and you watch
and you
the
don't,
normal.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Does it let you choose your own version of the, that's interesting. I'll have to.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought, but you could technically watch on your iPhone and the family could watch on a Roku or an Apple TV or something like that. And you would want to set up separate profiles. So JJ would have his profile, I would have my profile, so we could both watch Daredevil at the same time, but be on different profiles. So we're not watching the same thing from the same profile. Then Netflix might not let you do that.
And to this point, you can't make a any language or whatever default either. You have to select it per episode, I believe, right?
I think so, but again, I only watched that first episode and it automatically flipped and then we had to do the show. So I was kind of like, oops, I got to run. So I will jack a little bit more with that for BBQ14. Also, right. I want to thank Pam and Ron for writing in. Pam sent in some stuff for AT History, which is awesome. Pam Francis is always trying to contribute to the show with some great information. She's my Google Fiber person. That's the person who I'm going to learn from about Google Fiber before it shows up in Charlotte. I'm going to learn a little bit more about Google Fiber. And Time Warner, funny enough, I should mention Charlotte and Raleigh Durham. Time Warner just said, hey, you know what? Google Fiber's coming out here. How about this summer we raise the speeds like by six in some cases, you know? Wouldn't it be great? You guys on 15 could be like at 50 and you guys at 50 could be at 100 and you get bandwidth and you get bandwidth and you get bandwidth. I think that's really, really funny. The super uber business class is going to go up to like 300, which I think is just funny. So definitely thank you guys for emailing in and sending in your information. There's even emails that we don't even feature on the show sometimes. There's just a lot of information coming in. And actually, a lot of responses for, can you cover this? Or, hey, we have this coming out. Or in a couple of months, we'll be doing this. Are you guys available to talk about this? So the responses that we've gotten, just like Mike May sending us in something, and Liam, of course, with the Comcast situation. Of course, in our very first show with Be My Eyes, very gratifying to have so many people wanting to be on the show and help us out with the show. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Got a lot of Twitter this week. Lewis, who said they decided to binge watch season one, 13 episodes. There you go. He said, it's not even my style, but you know what? I decided to binge watch the first season. So there you go. And lots of people really, why not? You know, getting into
then
that.
You're going to have something to compare it to when something does show up, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
That way, you know whether, oh, you know, this is actually just like that other show, but this is a little bit better than that other show.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled with that, man. The more, the merrier. And again, let's start banging on the door. I'm not done. Let's go bang on Amazon. Let's go whoop up on Hulu.
Blind Educator asked, and Brian answered, about Facebook support in Leesy, which is a product that Harsh Consultancy offers, and they are a sponsor of the Blind Bargains website. Yes, he says it still will work with Facebook after April 30th when Facebook is making some changes. So that's good to know.
Yep.
And Chris Reagan also as well says, just purchased Leesy, and I'm very much looking forward to using it with JAWS and trying that out. So thank you so much, Chris. Stuart wrote in, or just asking, how do you post classifieds on Blind Bargains? So that's really simple. You just go to blindbargains.com and you click on classifieds. And you have to be logged in to post. And if you don't have an account, you just create a free account. You can post classifieds for $5 on Blind Bargains. Alex, just curious, who had the dog in the IBTC interview? That was Carl. That was a chain, boy.
You couldn't miss that.
No, no. And there were a couple other spots.
And he sounded like he just got comfortable when Carl would move. It was just like, oh, man, we're moving again? I thought you were going to stand here and talk a while.
At one point, I was like, you know, let's try to, you know, see if I can do some things and try to, you know, limit the noise of that. And like, you know what? It's whatever. It's a guide dog. No, part of the interview. Just leave him there. It's a guide dog.
It's awesome.
We can't edit the dog out. You can't edit the dog out.
I know. I tried.
There you go. That is the tweet for this week. Thank you all for your feedback. And now to Joe's Easter leftovers.
Oh, we have a new name for it this week. Ricky was all thrilled with Joe's bag of crap. She just thought that was just the coolest thing ever. Which I said, what are you trying to say about podcasts over the years? Are you trying to say something about how we do things? Okay, I don't know. Weird stories that I see across the internet that are worth a gander or a glance, which I think are just like, huh? This week, it's going to seem like I'm reaching, but I'm really not. There's some really strange stuff that I found as I was going through to put the show together. Smellophone.
What?
Attach scents to ebooks or songs.
Okay.
Oh, I can just see American greetings getting all over this. This is...
Oh, my.
Like the scratch and sniff for your phone.
What kind of smells, Joe?
I don't think I've thought that part through fully when I was putting it into the show. Let's just say, because I'm trying to think of something that's still family friendly, how about the smell for a cookbook? Like, I don't know, banana pound cake, and it smells like banana.
This is what you will get when you're... Okay, yeah, because Smell-O-Vision, was a theater thing, right? Because that was so huge.
Yes. Gosh. Yeah, that went down really well.
I'm sure this will do just as well.
So did randomly electrocuting people in seats called the movie called The Tingler with Vincent Price, and that actually got people in trouble. Flipping over stereo speakers so they could have vibrations for the movie Earthquake in the 70s. That was sense around sound and some other ways. Yeah. there are some... movie theaters now that we joke about this, but in real, there's a 4D, like the seats move and if there's rain, there's mist that comes out of the seat and there are some odors. They experimented with that in Japan. And I think there are some 4D seats here in the United States that do that as well. Have you gone to a theater that has the recliners yet?
No,
it is.
I feel like I would just fall asleep.
At Guardians of the Galaxy back in San Antonio in July, David over at Baum said, oh, I went and saw it last night. And it's really great. And you sit in these chairs that are recliners. And we're like, really? Oh, got to go do that. And so you go to the movie theater and I said, I'd like to buy two for Guardians of the Galaxy. And they pull out a seating chart. And I was like, what is this, a sporting event? You know, well, we got two in the front. We got three in the back. What do you mean? No, I just want to see it. I want to go to the movie. No, they're recliners and you can actually choose where you want to seat. And when you go to sit in when you go down the steps, which are more like giant slabs, because the seats can elongate and you could literally be laying almost on your back, like at the planetarium, to watch a movie and still have a drink holder right there. I've gone to two theaters. One was an AMC and the other's a private movie company that had this, which is just amazing to be able to throw your feet up and have that big screen and that big sound, which is really cool. But Smell-O-Vision,
do they have pillows?
I'm not looking for that. They're leather seats, or at least they will be for now until probably after, you know, Avengers comes out and everybody sits in them. And they're fairly comfortable. And the leather actually absorbs sound. So some of the sound deadening on the walls and the ceiling also play into the seats. So sound is pretty localized, which is pretty neat. The thing I did notice in San Antonio, though, was films are generally, even to this day, even with stadium seating, films are generally done in a horizontal plane. They're all the speakers are even. Yep. They're all the dipoles are at a certain level. And if it was mixed out of Skywalker sound with THX, it has some characteristics on how the sound is positioned. When you lay backwards in a seat, you kind of take your head out of the sound envelope. And so you hear sound a little differently, like, you know, what you would expect to be behind you on your left isn't as behind you on your left anymore because you're kind of laying down and the sound envelope is going past you rather than where it's been specifically trying to throw the sound. So that's kind of interesting. It has some drawbacks to those of us who really enjoy, you know, big time home theater sound or big time theater sound, really.
What are the pillows?
Books with notice how I stepped away. He got me flustered with the idea of what books could smell like in e-text.
Yeah, see, but, right, yeah, anyway, you know.
I'm moving right past that. So this pillow that Jay was talking about that could help sleep, and I walked past his segue because I was writing one of my own. The pillow can be used to help you sleep, and it connects to your smartphone. Now, we all have problems with sleeping, and certainly this seems like something we could have at Blind Bargains, you know, a pillow with a speaker in it. That seems like right up our alley, doesn't it?
Yeah, for those of you who listen to the podcast at night,
who need to be able to sleep. And
well, if you're one of those people, you're not listening, you're already sleeping by this point of the podcast. It's towards the end. So
yeah, I'm gonna mention Byron again, just because, you know, I'm gonna pick on Byron.
Yeah, but no, so what, it uses the accelerometer, it's a memory foam pillow.
just like attaching smells to an ebook, an accelerometer for a pillow. There is something I don't think we were prepared for.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, everyone sleeps differently. It's going to work for about 10% of the people.
Maybe if it could just capture, you know, does the pillow vibrate when you snore?
They're going to play low frequency sounds to lull you into a deeper sleep.
Could you connect it to your Fitbit or your Apple Watch and then Bluetooth?
You connect it to the health kit. No, I don't know.
Yeah, you could totally multitask and have no batteries for any devices in your bedroom whatsoever. Just totally.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Anyway.
And then they're going to cross and then send you the wrong thing, and you're going to get shocked by the electrical shock pillow.
or if you're using this as your only data connections, then you wake up the next morning and go, wow, how much data did I upload to the cloud? That would be really strange and really neat. The sleep thing. There was an app I just saw recently that would record you while you sleep. So if you talk in your sleep, or if you believe you snore, or you want to prove that your significant other snores, you would put this on your iPhone or iPad and you would leave it, and then it would record when it heard noise. So it would stay awake. And then
I mean, all that really is a voice activated recorder.
Correct. But not many have those micro recorders to do that anymore. And so, and you might use it for other means, but it clearly stated on the app that it was for people to capture people sleeping. Clearly. That must be what it's for.
Huh. Got you.
Uh-huh. Sure. Okay.
Got it.
Uh-huh. Forgot what the app was already called. You had to look. I might put it in show notes if I remember what it was, because I saw it the other day. Lastly, in the bag of oddness and strangeness, and I saved it, of course, for the very end. We had cooking last week with Dr. Watson, the computer program from IBM. Uh-huh.
Have you tried those yet?
No, but I think I might try it with the joy of dishwasher cooking. A link right here in the show notes.
I guess so.
Did you even know you could multitask with your dishwasher?
I mean, you could do it in your coffee pot. I guess, why not?
I see it on Cutthroat Kitchen all the time. Poaching eggs.
I guess if it's something that you would boil, maybe. Right? It's a water. I mean, things that you would don't put soap in. I'm assuming, right?
No, but this is crazy. As the guys,
you want to wash your vegetables too. You can wash them, and then you can.
Well, remember during the savings and loan scandal, and then again in the 90s, this came back. How to cook your dinner on your car's manifold on your way home?
No.
So if you had long commutes, you would actually strap tin foil with your meat and your veggies, and the heat of your car would cook your dinner. So all you had to do was reach under your car, unstrap this thing, and then go in and eat dinner.
The things that people do, sometimes, you know, creativeness gets the best of people, and you end up.
This is why JJ should just forbid me from reading Life Hacker during the week. I should just not be reading this and not be adding it to show notes. I might have to take a break in May and not add some of these.
Everything things on Life Hacker is just,
totally doable.
Hey, I know you saw this. You know what? My most exciting story of the week in news.
Huh. How weird is that?
Oh, yes. Yes. This is really
the
exciting.
Return.
The return and the new
of the kilt. The return of the kilt. Oh, my gosh. Now I can learn more about Dropkick Murphys from Patrick Norton. Thank you.
I watched that many times over the years. The screensavers.
I still have a folder in my Hotmail with the screensaver's daily notes that I would pilfer for the Division for Blind Services. I would get Windows tips and dark tips and all sorts of tips. Morgan Webb, the great, great Morgan Webb is going to...
A lot of the old people, yeah. They're bringing back a lot of the old, so it's going to be a weekly this time, but it's going to be a much more produced show than the other things on the TWiT network. And
10 years of TWiT. Wow. So Leo is trying to bring it back. I know he's been trying to get John C. Dvorak to put up Silicon Spin to get the rights to just put those out on the internet again, because you know, G4 is no more for the most part and doesn't want any part of that. But slowly but surely, Leo is going to return us to the yesteryear of tech TV, or even ZDTV if you go that far back.
Yeah.
Which actually, I used to watch ZDTV in my real player and they couldn't use more than like 4 or 5 minutes of video or audio at a time because of rights management. So real player G2.
Was a big upgrade.
That was a huge one. You would buy that and it would come in a manual. It was like a book with a CD inside it.
The first real player, the real audio, was just 14.4.
Yes.
Worked on a 14.4 modem.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 95
you would click on it through your AOL or CompuServe links.
Yep. On audio net, right? Mark Cuban's thing.
Uh-huh. I remember video was a big, big, big deal. I remember it took us 35 minutes to download a postage stamp video of Space Ghost Coast to Coast in 1996 from the AS400 room at Incredible Universe. And we were still thrilled over ISDN to go, look, it's video. And then we would go downstairs and make fun of Web TV, the Web TV, which...
Wow.
Which was just, amazing.
And
amazing
how things have changed, definitely. But we follow the latest in assistive technology and just technology in general and things beyond technology as we have been
full
for
circle.
A quarter of a year so far. And but we're also covering them on our CSUN 30 prop special, which we're just about ready to punch out.
And, I'll look back at the past and the current with some wonderful interviews from James McCarthy of HIMS, from Mark Stenzel of Enhanced Vision, and also have some other wonderful audio
Larry
from the
APH.
Past. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Larry.
Tony Schenck
and Dolphin.
Enabling.
Some funny from Dolphin. Vinny Rappa from HumanWare.
Really,
some really
cool
stuff.
This kind of throwback stuff. People talking about how the conference was 20, 25 years ago. So some really cool things. And a couple of our favorites from the past and not so favorite, me butchering karaoke.
And with conventions hitting anniversaries this summer, so we'll probably have to do that again. So this will be the first special, but probably not the last special at our look at the history, AT history in the past, because so many of you responded to it, and we had so many great comments and letters, and people really remembering back. Because, again, you are listening to this lovely show through some device. It is what connects us. Either it's an MP3 player, an accessible MP3 player, or it's through one of the many smartphones that's available, or somebody burned it onto a disc and you're listening to it that way. Technology is the thing that gives us the ability to do as much as everyone else, or even sometimes more. So therefore, that is why we kind of look back at it, Jay, and are big fans of where we came from and how did we get here.
Even 5 years ago, I mean, I'm looking at the first year that I did interviews at CSUN in 2010, and the things that were released then that's already are not things anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing to see
companies that are not with
companies
us
that are not things. Yeah, I mean, that are not companies, and you know,
and even low tech devices. You know, look at the conversations I've had with Gord. You know, from Ambutech, Kane technology changes. So things that you would not think change. Look at where, perfect example, InVision and David Raystrick and crew. Look at what IDMate was and what ID is now and the rise of RX and all of these things. They all came from somewhere and they all evolved over time. And that is why it's always interesting to watch these things or look and see where they go.
Definitely. So stay tuned for that. I know we've been talking about it for a little while. It is coming very soon. So
it really, 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 really is. But you can follow us on Twitter to find out when that is released. Twitter.com/blindbargains. You can follow me on Twitter. Twitter.com/RangerStation. Build is next week. I'm following Mary Jo Foley and Paul. Looking very, very forward to some of the news. AMD leaked or outed Windows 10 possibly going to manufacturing at end of July, ? Definitely still coming, but Windows 10 is on its way. We'll learn a little bit more next week. You can hop on over to blindbargains.com to catch these very show notes, or you can, of course, grab our app on iOS and Android in the Play Store and App Store and get that to work. And also the Amazon Echo and any number of weird ways to be able to capture our audio.
Any of you guys write add-ons for Kodi? Kodi, it's the XBMC, the media player thing.
Yeah.
A very, if you guys don't know what it is, don't worry about it. If you do know what it is, it's kind of a media player thing app.
Yep.
And I'm going to see if I can find someone to write it. I'm like, well, hey, we should have a plugin because why not? It would just be weird and three people would use it, but it would be kind of cool.
HTML5 player, people use our HTML5 player when they can't get to anything else.
People know about that.
That's true.
But hey, if you want to talk to me about other weird things and just kind of toss around ideas, I'm usually the one behind the at Blind Bargains Twitter feed and also at AT Guys on Twitter. And go to AT Guys where we have lots of cool accessories for mobile phones and some new things coming up. By the way, we are a dealer. We have been for a while, but we lowered the price on Sendero PC Maps to $79, which is actually really cool. Ow. It's virtual exploration. You can just kind of pop up a city or a state and type an address.
Coming up.
Yeah, you can virtually explore, which is really cool. And there are 30-day demos.
Where are you going to take mom for Mother's Day?
Oh, Mother's Day is coming up. Thanks. You're right.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Set yourself a Google reminder now.
So when you plan your Mother's Day gift, you can figure that out virtually. If you want a 30-day demo of that, just email me. Either tweet at ATGuys or email support@ATGuys.com with your name and email address. Well, I guess you've already given me your email address if you're emailing me. But just send a message over and we will hook you up. It's for Windows and we'll hook you up with a 30-day demo of that. It's for your country of choice. So there you go. And then there you go. I said at AT Guys, you can call us 269-216-4798. And done with shows for the moment until Orlando in July. No, that's not true. We have one in Lansing, Michigan, in the beginning of June. But staying home for a few weeks. So that's good.
I may have something in May. I was telling JJ about at the top of the day before we started recording. So I hope to have something new about that really soon. It's not related to assistive technology. There. That's the only tease I'll give. So there's that.
Okay.
One or two products may be coming out soon. We are under the middle initials for our names are NDA. So we have some great coverage of products still to come, but we can't talk about them. We're still under embargo, so hang loose for that. And like we were saying, convention coverage is going to be here before we know it. We're less than 90 days away from Orlando and Dallas. That is hard to believe. So stay with us and please let other people know about the show. That helps us, as well as rating it on iTunes. If you happen to listen to the show on iTunes, several of you have already rated us.
We now do have a rating.
Thank you.
Which is awesome.
And that is super cool. I'm not going to bug anybody for reviews. Those help, but it's not as critical as rating on iTunes. So that's kind of helpful. So thank you very much for dropping into iTunes and doing that, because that not only helps this podcast, but it helps out others like our friends over at InData and their show or Main Menu. So definitely go out there and rate the podcast. Well, thank you for another week, and we will see you soon with an AT history show. And next week, more craziness from the bag of crap. Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm saying.
Bye-bye. This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2015.